I want to say welcome, first of all. If you're new here, man, we are so excited that you're here tonight. We believe that the Lord is doing a huge thing here with Watermark students. And what I would tell you, whether you're new or you're recent, this is your home, this is a safe place. And I want to tell you another thing. This is a weird place. And I don't mean that to be funny. I mean, like, this is really odd, okay? I want you to think about this. Think about your small group leader, okay? They're committing 6, 4, 8 years to you and your group. Churches don't do it like that all over the place. Like, I really think you guys need to take an idea of what your small group leaders are doing for you. They're serving you. They're loving you. And I'm just so excited to come on Sundays and be a part of it and hear all the stories of life change that are going on, some of the stories that are shared from this pulpit through video. It's really cool to see, guys. It really is. If you guys don't know me, I want to introduce myself real quick. My name is Glenn. Puberty, still. It's coming. Still happening. I'm almost 30. And I can't even grow beards. All right. Anyway, I'm Glenn Gordon. I go to school with Jermaine and Samer and Gareth, and I've been hanging out here for about a year and a half-ish, 2 years with y'all, and I'm from Florida, and I moved to Dallas probably 3 years ago, and it's been awesome. I love Dallas, love the city, and I've been hanging out with Penuel a lot, and he's like, hey man, we're looking for someone who's a marriage expert to come in and talk on marriage, and I don't know if you guys know this, if you don't know me, in my circle I'm kind of known as a marriage expert, like that's kind of my thing. I mean, I've been married for like 4 weeks. Like, I've been married a long time. Like, I got a whole month on our belt, and we're still madly in love with each other. So, we're doing a good thing. Anyway, guys, I want you to know that if you've never been married before, and if you have, we probably need to have a conversation later. But your wedding day is going to be weird. Like, I went into my wedding day a couple weeks ago, I woke up and I was thinking that I would wake up and it would be just this incredible effervescent feeling. I'd be floating on clouds and I'd be king of the mountain and I'd love it and it'd be awesome. But it really felt surreal. It was just a weird thing. Like, here's this day that I've been preparing for my entire life, 28 years of life before. Well, I mean, probably not the first couple, but I was preparing after that, after I had cognizance. So anyway, preparing after that for this marriage that I'm going to be jumping into and this wedding that's going down. So I woke up and I had a couple things to do just to get final preparations done. My buddy Ramey gave me a straight razor shaver. Never had a straight razor shave. Never had one of those before. I was kind of afraid. I thought I was going to get slit, but it didn't. It's a good thing. Other things that happened, I gave her a gift. I wrote her a little letter, nice little note, gave her these little slippers and said, hey, hope you're not getting cold feet. You know, thought that was... Right? Yeah. Can't take credit for it, but I did it. So it was a lot of fun. But the whole time, it was just super surreal. And then we got home to where my guys were staying, and my buddy Jerry, who actually officiated the wedding, he was like, hey, Glenn, let's go to Starbucks. So let's hang out. And I'm like, okay, hanging out, sure. So we went to Starbucks, and we're driving back, and I got the same question I've been getting all day and for the past week. Hey, Glenn, how you feeling? How you feeling? What do you feel like? What you thinking? What's going on in your mind? And I told him, I was like, Jerry, I don't know what to think. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm here. I feel like I'm 10 feet above me, and I feel like I'm just not in my own mind right now. And he said, hey, Glenn, look, I just want to know, I want you to know, he said bro or dude, because he says that stuff a lot. He said, dude, I just want you to know, you've been preparing for this for 28 years. You need to enjoy your wedding day. And so I kind of had this perspective change. And where I started looking at that day and trying to soak it all in, I stood there at the aisle, at the altar, and waited for my wife and watched her come down the aisle. And I just wanted that moment to last forever. And I took time to enjoy what we had prepared for. Okay, and actually, here's a picture of me and my wife as we're kind of going out. Yeah. Like I said, lots of preparation to make me look that good. So she just wakes up looking like that, so... She's awesome. And I can't wait to have little ginger kids. It's going to be fun. So, Yeah. Well, guys, what we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, if you've been here, if you've had the fortune to be here, we've been talking about this idea of your marriage. Okay? And we're calling it the knot. And we're coming from Galatians, where it talks about this law of the harvest. Okay, and here's the law of the harvest. What you plant today, you will grow. It will grow tomorrow. okay? And so we're talking about things that we can plant into our lives, that we can fertilize and nourish, and that the Lord can spring up into a healthy marriage and God-honoring marriage. And for me, it was really cool to hear David talk about the genesis of this series and why he wanted to do it. It was out of a joy of his own marriage. Okay, so he looked at himself and he said, hey, God has given me this incredible gift in his wife, Allison. And he said, hey, what is it about what the Lord planted in me throughout my life in high school and middle school that prepared me for an incredible marriage that I've seen today? And here's the things we've talked about so far. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the seed of purity. Okay, it's this idea that what you put into your mind, what you do with your body, it affects the intimacy that you share with your spouse in the future. Last week, he talked about commitment and community. And he basically defined marriage as a commitment to community. See, in Scripture, it talks about two people being joined together in one flesh, and that what God has brought together, let no man separate. And that's this idea that when we sign up for a marriage and we stand before our friends and before our Father in heaven and we say, hey, I'm going to commit my life to this person, we're committing to community. And he talked about how the way he perceived his relationship with the Lord and the things that he did in his life prepared him to have a successful marriage and a God-honoring marriage. And so tonight we're going to piggyback off of that a little bit. And what we're going to talk about is we're going to take a step back and look at marriage and kind of align ourselves with what the Scripture has to say about this idea of service. Okay? About serving one another. So right away, this kind of, I feel there's tension here. I mean, especially the first week, I was sitting over here and David's like, hey, we're going to talk about marriage. And this Hugo Jaime goes, oh, here we go. And I'm like, okay, yeah, there's tension here. I can feel it. And here's where the tension is. The tension lies in our perspective. The tension lies in our perspective. How we see love and how we see marriage builds in us the tension that pushes against this idea of serving and the idea of giving our rights up to our spouse. Okay? So for me, this is something that is not innate. Believe me, I'm a classic romantic. I think I picked out my wife like 8 times in my life. And that was like before high school. Like that was middle school, elementary school. Like I've always been like this guy who's just looking for that girl. Finally found her. It's been awesome. She's worth the wait. But I've always been a romantic. So we were watching a movie a couple weeks ago, her and I, and I'm a sucker for those those romantic chick comedies. And there's this one from the 90s, and it's really awesome. But there was a scene in it. It's called Sleepless in Seattle, if you've never seen it. And there's a scene in this movie, man, and it is what's up. I mean, I know, guys, look, I'm sorry. I played sports in high school. You know, I'm a big guy. I can bench press a lot. But, man, it's just a good movie. But there's a scene in here that man, guys, as good as the movie is, it's full of lies. Like, it just is. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your eyesight. Okay, and I want you to put Scripture over it real quick. And then I want you to take a look at this scene that we're going to show. And I want you to ask yourself, what's wrong with this scene? What's wrong with this perspective on marriage?
If there was one question I was allowed to ask.
Oh, go ahead.
People who truly loved once are far more likely to love again. Sam, do you think that there's someone out there you could love as much as your wife?
Well, Dr. Marcia Fieldstone, that's hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to get out of bed every morning. Breathe in and out all day long. And then after a while, I won't have to remind myself to get out of bed in the morning and breathe in and out. And then after a while, I won't have to think about how I had it great and perfect for a while.
Sam, tell me what was so special about your wife.
Well, how long is your program? Oh, well, it was a million tiny little things. If when you added them all up, it just meant that we were supposed to be together. And I knew it. And I knew it the very first time I touched her. It was like coming home, only to know home I'd ever known. I was just taking her hand to help her out of a car. And I knew it. It was like
magic.
Magic.
It was like magic. It was like magic. That's the lie that we've been told since we've been born. It's a lie that secular culture tells us. Hey, and guess what? It's a lie that the church culture tells us too a lot of times. Seriously. Let's take a look at what they say. What culture says about love and marriage is this. That one day, you'll be taking a girl out of the car, you'll grab her by the hand, and you'll know. You know, you'll be home, only not a home that I'd ever know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets me every time. But it's so good. But guys, it's just not, that's not the way that God intends it. And see, we believe that in this romantic idea of relationships and marriage, that man, we're going to know as soon as we meet this individual that he's the one. Cupid's going to strike us with this little arrow, and we're going to live happily ever after in this land called Odyssey, and it's going to be incredible. Land called Odyssey? No, I don't know. But guys, church culture says that too, except for we kind of do a little substituting. Instead of saying Cupid, we say God. You ever thought of that? Ladies, like, I know y'all think this. I know y'all think this. Because a lot of my friends, this is like eating their lunch. They're walking through life. They think that I'll look to the left, I'll look to the right. I'll see someone with me. I'll touch them. And God will tell me, this is the person you're supposed to be with. Guys, you see that girl, and she's kind of, she's got a really banging face, and she's got a really, really good-looking body. And you're like, man, guys, if I could just marry that girl, like, I'm going to wake up every day with a smile on my face. But here's what you don't understand. Like, guys, bring it down. Everybody wakes up with bad breath. Right? I wake up in the mornings and my wife rolls over and she says, hey, babe. Oh. She is beautiful. She is gorgeous. But she has bad breath. Okay? And I am not as beautiful nor as gorgeous, but I also have bad breath. And we bring this baggage, this it's more than just breath, it's this baggage of sin in our lives. We bring that into the marriage, and that is going to affect our relationship with our spouse. So what happens if we take this worldview of love and marriage and we get in that moment? We bail. We bail on our relationship. We bail on the one we've committed to. And we decide that we can continue our pursuit for the one. Okay? Guys, David talked about it a little bit. Maybe there isn't a one. Have you ever, y'all ever thought about that? Like, here's the deal with all of this, guys. Preparation without perspective breeds frustration. All right? And in that frustration, we understand that there is either something wrong with our worldview or there's something wrong with us. And it builds in us a tension that has to be overcome by the grace of God. But what if we look at marriage a little bit differently? Like, what if we see how selfish this really is? Like, let me just say this to you real quick before we go any further. Like, do you guys realize you're in love? And I'm not talking about the girl you're trying to see or the guy that you're trying to text or Instagram behind, you know, your parents' back or anything like that. I'm talking about like you. You're in love with yourself. I am in love with myself, and here's how I know this. I might not be friends with you on Facebook, but I know your Facebook page, all right? Your pictures of yourself look great, right? Why? Because when you look at a photograph of you and everybody else in your friend group, and you see a bad picture of yourself, you untag yourself. Guys, we care about what we look like. We care about ourselves oftentimes more than we do about other people. And guys, we need to have a right perspective of ourselves. And that's called humility. Okay? Guys, heads up. Your marriage is not about you. Let that sink in. Because your life isn't about you either, but we're talking about marriage tonight. Your marriage is not about you. It's not about your spouse. It's not about the two of you put together. It's about the God who created both of you and who through his supernatural revelation revealed himself to you, made himself a sacrifice for you. Guys, God designed marriage for a couple things. Number one, he designed it for reproduction. All right? In Genesis 1, God says, hey, be fruitful, multiply, go make babies. All right? We're supposed to make babies, but if you were in Todd's sermon this morning, you know that there's more to it than that. Guys, this is our call. God calls us to shepherd the next generation of Christ followers through a marriage. Okay, another thing that he talks about, it's illustration. Guys, our marriage with the spouse is to be an illustration of Christ in the church. Ephesians 5 says this in verse 32. It basically talks about the idea of being one in body, in unity, man and woman, and Christ in the church. And he calls it a mystery. Because we're an illustration of that mystery to the people around us. And sometimes we just don't get that. Because our perspective is focused on ourselves as opposed to what should be focused on, which is others and submission to God. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Guys, the final thing, this is the hardest one, honestly. This is where the rubber hits the road. Sanctification. Sanctification is just a big word that means, hey, this is how you become more like Christ. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27 talks about men. This is the passage that we're going to go into in a second. So if you actually want to turn to Ephesians 5, go ahead and go there now. Whether you got your Bible here or you got your app out, go ahead and jump to Ephesians 5. 26 and 27, it talks about washing our spouse with the with water and with the word. Guys, it's a picture of us sanctifying each other through just being in community with one another. It's a commitment to community, guys, marriage. And community is hard. Especially when you live with that person every day. And that's why we have to have that proper perspective. All right. Here's another thing that I can tell you about your marriage really quickly. Your marriage is either going to be self-serving or God-honoring. There's no other options. So if you got your Bible in Ephesians 5, I want you to go there. We're going to talk about what God has to say about our roles in marriage and how we're to serve one another in these roles, okay? Do I have it on the screen? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to your husbands. Do you see the word submit? That's a hard word. It's not there anymore. It's okay. Submit is a hard word, but it's an active word. It says willful submission to your husband. Guys, your part's even harder. You got about 6 or 8 verses here, so it's going to be a lot harder on you. Let's keep reading. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Guys, both of these are acts of service. We have women, wives, submitting to your husband as an act of service as you submit to Christ. And husbands, men, dudes, bros, okay? We're called to love our wife as Christ loved the church, and that's sacrificially. Christ loved us sacrificially, and that is an act of service. Do you guys see what a big deal service is in marriage? And why David says, and why we're talking about this today, why planting the seed of service is such a big deal? Because this is going to determine the effectiveness of your relationship. Guys, seriously, I feel like David, we talked about stats a lot the past couple of weeks. We said them a couple of times, but he said 41% of first-time marriages end in divorce. 60% of second-time marriages end in divorce. 70% of third-time marriages end in divorce. Y'all, I really do believe we're a couple of years away from fixing that. If we get this idea of service, if we understand what Ephesians 5 has to say to both men and women, and we submit to what God's word has to say about that, and we align ourselves with truth as a husband and as a wife. For me, this is kind of hard. It's really hard, actually. We came home from our honeymoon, and it happened the first day, you know? I'm really tight with our budget, and I like to prepare and get everything ready for our budget. And Caitlin came in to me, and she's like, hey, Glenn, I know we got a bunch of money for the wedding. And she didn't say it like that because she's, you know, super cute. Hey, Glenn. And she's like, hey, what do you think about getting some stuff? I'm like, okay, well, what stuff are you thinking about? And she's like, well, you know, maybe some little cups. Like, little cups? What is a little cup? And she's like, oh, you know, like little cups. Explain. You gotta have to use your words. So she says, she goes, well, you know, I registered for big cups and I registered for little cups. And we got the big cups. We got tons of the big cups. We didn't get any little cups. And I'm scratching my head because I'm a dude and I don't understand this concept of little cups. Okay? I'm like, hey, baby, why don't, if you just want a little bit of water, just fill it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Do we really need little cups? Do we really need little cups? But guess what? We got little cups in the mail this week. And I love my little cups. But it was hard. Submitting and serving is hard. Guys, loving your wife as Christ loved the church is a huge call. And a lot of times it isn't necessarily even these big things, okay? We look at like that idea of submission to our spouse and we think, oh man, that's a big deal, okay? But a lot of times it's just a little thing. So like for me, one thing that she's like, hey, you lock the door and I love that about you. You do your dishes, put your dishes in the dishwasher and I love that about you. So guys, it's not just the big things, but the little things prepare us for the big things. I want to tell you one more thing about your life, your life, not even just your marriage, guys. A successful life, okay, is defined by surrender to God and service of others. Successful life is defined by surrender of God and service of others. Guys, this is true of marriage, but even on a bigger scale, this is also true about your life. Let's just read a couple really quick verses about this. I know we're running a little bit late. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Guys, slavery is a hard word. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to serve. But Jesus Christ himself says, hey, if you want to be the greatest, serve. Serve the way I served. In Philippians 2, he says this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, vain conceit, selfishness. But in humility, count others better than yourself. Let each of you look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. And guys, this is where it ties back into perspective, because in the next couple of verses, he talks about this. He says, hey, have the same attitude about yourself, which was that of Christ Jesus, who though when he was in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he surrendered that and humbled himself and became a servant. He served unto death, even death on a cross for you and for me. Guys, we're to model that in our marriages. We're to model that in our lives because that's what true success looks like. I want to give you a picture, and it's probably the best picture in my life that I've seen of service outside of Christ. In undergrad, I went to the University of Florida, and I had a buddy named Drew. And Drew is this big old hulking dude. He walked on as a lineman. I don't think he made the cut, but he got offered at Vanderbilt and wanted to come hang out with his brother at the University of Florida. So he came to us and hung out. Loved this kid. This kid exemplified this understanding of service. Whenever we needed something, we'd call Drew. Whenever we needed some help, we'd call Drew. Whenever we wanted someone to make us some breakfast, we called Drew. About 3 years ago, I'm moving to Dallas, and the panhandle where he lived at the time, it was about halfway between. So I said, hey, Drew, man, I'm coming through. Can I crash with y'all on my way to Dallas? Driving through. I don't want to drive through straight. Man, it's like 18 hours, y'all. It's not fun. I-10 is just straight and boring. Unless you pass in Tallahassee, then you smell it because it smells like garbage. FSU goes there. So Drew, and I stayed with Drew over the night and loved it. Woke up in the morning and I was like, he's like, Drew, hey, Glenn, when you waking up tomorrow? I was like, hey, man, I'm waking up at 5. Got to get up early. I want to get there before traffic dies down, get there before rush hour at Dallas. So I got up at 4:30 and there's breakfast on the table. I got pancakes. I got eggs. I got bacon. My boy is taking care of me. He is serving me. Well, last summer, Drew was on vacation in my hometown in Palm Coast, 386. It was raining really hard, and he was on his way back. Him and his wife were up in the front seat, and his wife was pregnant. He had the baby at the time now. The baby's doing great. Driving, and Drew spins out. And Drew, his car spins and hits a tree right on his side. And Drew didn't make it. Drew passed away. And Guys, this is the image that I want you to think about when you think of service. The last thing he did before he stopped breathing was kicking at his wife's seatbelt, trying to get her out of the car, her and his unborn kid. That's service. That's surrender. That's loving your wife like Christ loved the church, giving your life up for her so that her and your family might live. Guys, Drew's legacy lives on, and man, he loved the Lord, he's with the Lord, and he doesn't feel pain anymore, but he will always, for me, be an image of what true marriage should look like. So what does this look like for you? How do you plant the seed of service in your life at such a young age? Guys, you got opportunity all around you, and you probably don't even see it. First thing you see that you might not see is your family. Okay? You have a family around you. If you don't, you have male figures, women figures, father figures, mother figures in your life. You have sisters and brothers that you can serve, that you can give yourself up for. Guys, one thing I'll tell you, kind of side note, one thing I loved about that girl in the back is that the way she treated her dad, seriously, it trained in her an idea of submission that has transferred so well into marriage. And guys, start building that in your life. Guys, serve your church. And we're going to give you a couple opportunities here in a second that are real life opportunities that you can take advantage of tomorrow to serve your church. And guys, serve your community. Serve that kid who doesn't have anybody to sit with at lunch table. Serve the JV kid who doesn't know how to hit a curveball. Tell him he's a good dude. Hang out with him. Give him a lunch, you know? Be that person who instills that seed in yourself today, because it's gonna pay benefits in the long run. Okay, here's a couple opportunities I want to talk about real quick. Starting Blocks. Starting Blocks is the preschool ministry here at Watermark. A couple different opportunities for you. You guys can serve right now in the next couple weeks after you go through the process. Okay, twice a month or once a month. Okay, there's opportunity there to serve. And there's opportunities in the front lines to serve as well. Okay, we need parking crew. We need people who are bodies that are there to direct traffic, to greet people at the door, to make coffee. There's all sorts of places for you to serve here at Watermark and in your community. So take advantage of them. There's basically going to be some forms in the back. So I know Peniel's probably going to touch on this again. But guys, when you leave here, on the desk back there, there's going to be those opportunities to sign up. You'll see a starting block sign up. You'll put your name on the left, put your email address on the right, and they're going to shoot you an email. Guys, this requires commitment because you have to check your email. And then after they check your email, you have to fill out the application that they give you. Okay? And after you fill out the application they give you, you're going to have to go through the process of showing up on time and being faithful. All right? Secondly, Frontlines Ministry, you'll see volunteer applications outside on the desk that you can sign up for and start planting seeds of service today. Okay? Awesome. Guys, I want to tell you a quick story as we wrap up. Sorry, we're going late. On the first day, Peniel came up and he talked about how weird he was in school. Do you guys remember that? Yeah? He was like the kid who set the curve. I hated that kid. Nobody liked that kid. That kid was my roommate, but I mean, we liked him, but he would just kind of, you know, hey, called him an old man and stuff like that. But anyway, I say that to say this. I was not that guy. I was a 3.0 student all throughout, okay? And I went to the University of Florida, yo. Like, we were the number one party school in the nation. I didn't really take care of any of that stuff. I didn't really party or anything like that. But, man, I celebrated the junk out of some national championship wins. Saw four of them. It was awesome. I can tell you about throwing riots. It's the best. But what I couldn't tell you about is planting this seed, okay, of humility and perspective. And here's why. So I graduated in 2007, and I went home. I was going to teach in my high school where I grew up before I came out here for a couple years. I was just going to save some money. But here's the deal. I don't know if you guys remember this. In 2007, there was this thing called recession. And with it went every job that was ever out there. So when you graduate in 2007, you really got two choices. You can either go work for somebody you know, like my dad, which is what I ended up doing, or you can kind of go back to school, which I needed money for, so I worked for my dad. Okay? So I was working for my dad, and I was in a really low place because I didn't have the job that I wanted to be in, and life wasn't going the way I wanted. I was 24, and I lived at home. I know that just sounds bad, right? I mean, it was a cool house. We built it, but like, it was a bummer of a place. And I mean, like, for me, I was 24. I had all this pent up ideas that what I wanted to take care of and do and go and be, and it just wasn't happening. And it affected how I performed on the job. Here's why I tell you this. One day, my dad called me into his room to his office, and he said, "Hey, Glenn, I love you, but if you weren't my kid, I would fire you." And I cried like out loud, like it broke me, y'all. It absolutely hammered me to death. And since then I've learned, obviously, you'll see my notes are much like David's. Smell like Perry Ellis tonight. If you get that, never mind. It's a cologne, okay? But guys, I was humbled by my father. You know why? Because he loved me. He loved me enough to tell me, hey, Glenn, I'd fire you if you were my kid. We can laugh at it, but here's the thing. The Bible speaks of this idea of perspective, this idea of service. Because guys, service takes humility. And your father who loves you wants you to humble yourself before him so that he can lift you up in due time. And if he loves you enough, guys, he's going to humble you if he has to. So I don't say that to scare you. I just say that to let you know, if you humble yourself now, if you learn to serve now, if you plant the seeds of purity, community, commitment, service now, you'll reap huge benefits in the future. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for a place where we can come and openly dig into your word. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for leadership around us that cares about us, that serves us, that's willing to go the extra mile on our behalf. God, I just thank you for who you are in sending Christ, Father. God, we love you. We pray that you would instill in us a seed of service. We pray this in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.